Revelations tonight. We are going to go to the book of Revelation, if you would, and I'm not going to preach a message on prophecy tonight, but we are going to go to chapter number 3, and we'll look at just a couple of verses here, primarily one that I'll use tonight for our message, but I have a thought that I'd like to share with you also, and then I have a message and I want to talk to you. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write." So we find here the angel here is talking about the pastor of a real church that we find here. We find this church here is in Sardis, and we find here the message is given to this church here, describing or talking a little bit about the church. We find here in verse number 1 that it is written here to the church here, to the angel of the church, the pastor of the church. And here's what it says. "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." So here's what he says unto the church here. "I know thy works." So we find here that God knows everything that's taking place in an individual church. By the way, he knows everything that takes place in this church tonight. The Lord knows what's going on. He knows what's being done or what's not being done. He knows where we excel. He knows where we may fail. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. And if anybody knows this church tonight, it's the Lord tonight. And we find here that a letter is written. We find here it says here, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Interesting statement that we find here. We're going to come back, and that's going to be our message tonight. Verse 2 says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Let's do pray, and we'll get right into our message tonight. Brother Bradley, if you don't mind, would you pray for our message tonight? Amen. All right. Wonderful. We find here an interesting statement here that was given about this real church, the church here at Sardis. We find here that the Lord makes some startling statements about the church here. We find that the writing here, the letter we find here, we find that the Word of God tells us that this is a particular church here. The Bible says they had a name that they liveth, but God says, "But I know you, I know your works, and even though you may claim the name that you live, you're actually dead." Now, if we know anything about a church tonight, if a church is alive or if a church is dead tonight, it's all based upon the people that make up that church. You see, the building that we sit in tonight is not the church. We're the church tonight. And we need to understand tonight that whether we are a church that is alive or whether we are a church that is dead, it's not determined based on what the sign may say out on the road. It's not determined on maybe what we claim tonight. What determines it tonight is the works that we perform inside the work of God. For instance, tonight, we have out on the highway, there's a sign out there that has a sign that advertises Grace Baptist Church. You'll find on there, it's kind of brief, but it will describe a little bit about the church. And churches do that. We advertise who we claim to be. Some churches may even claim and put in somewhere in their advertising a church alive or something like that. But now, whether or not that church is alive or not is determined by the people that make up that church. The sign doesn't determine whether it's really alive or not. It makes a statement, but actually the proof is in the pudding, if you would. And tonight, we are the pudding tonight. Here's another one. You can drive by a restaurant, and they can put on the sign, "Best food in town." Right? Now, they may or they may not have the best food in town, but I can tell you what determines whether they have the best food in town. It's whether they actually have food that's good to eat. There are some restaurants that claim to have great food, but I wouldn't feed it to my dog tonight. Are y'all with me tonight? There are other places that may claim to have great food, and they do. But the food decides whether it's great. It's not the advertisement. It's not the church out on the sign out on the highway that determines whether or not they have great food. You see, actually, the proof is in the pudding, and the food in a restaurant is the pudding that decides whether it's good or not. And tonight, may I remind us tonight that we as the church, we are the ones that determine whether we are actually alive or not tonight. There are a lot of churches tonight that claim to be a lot of things tonight, and just because they say this is what they are, and they may advertise that's what they are, they may put it on the church letterhead, they may put it out on the church sign, but just because you say that doesn't make you that. And the Lord says, you claim that you're alive, but the Lord says, but I know you, and you're actually dead, even though you claim to be alive. I can remember working with people, sometimes churches. I remember one particular church. Well, I'll use one of my wife's relatives as an example. Attends church very faithfully, very involved in church and so forth, and actually works in the church and so forth. And they have a little advertisement, and it was saying that advertisement, the heartbeat of our church is missions. And I asked them one day, I said, okay, then can you name me one missionary? Well, I don't know who all of our missionaries are. We send it into the corporate board, and the board does as they see please, and they distribute the money out and so forth. But what I'm saying is they claim that missions is their heartbeat, but yet you can't tell me one missionary. I find it very hard that missions is your heartbeat. You know, I'm glad tonight to know that this is a very missions-minded church. In fact, I've already asked Brother Richardson how many the church supports, and I'm afraid I'll give a wrong number here. I want to say around 80. I don't know if some of you guys may know exactly how many. I'm just, for some reason, I think that's maybe correct and so forth, but I'm glad to know. And by the way, it's not just something we claim, but we can actually tell you, here's the missionaries that we do support. In fact, I noticed, I don't know who this missionary family is right here. This is a missionary family and so forth that the church supports. And what is that? It's backing up what we claim. We claim to be a missions-minded church. Missions conference is upcoming. May I encourage everyone, don't miss a moment of missions conference. One of the most important meetings you'll ever be at. It's almost like the church would go into about a five-day business meeting deciding what the church is going to do and getting the gospel around the world. I believe that Missions Conference is probably the most important conference a church will ever have. Because it's about souls, it's about winning people and preaching the gospel to people that's probably never heard of the gospel. And so, hey, be a part of that. And let's be a church that's missions-minded. Hey, let's be a church tonight that is alive tonight. But if we're going to claim tonight that we are a church that's alive, then we have to look into the membership to find out, are they alive? Because the proof is actually in the pudding tonight. Are y'all with me tonight? Now, I want to preach to you tonight, on this tonight, real quickly, if I may, seven signs of a dead Christian. I've met people that attend church every single week, but they're as dead can be. You know, I wonder tonight, why waste time in going to church and trying to live a dead Christian life? I mean, we need to be alive tonight. You know what this world needs more than anything? It needs Christians that are actually real, that are alive, and believe in what they preach. And they go out into the world and they live what they claim that they believe. You know, it's hard to find Christians that live the Christian life. It's hard to find people anymore that live. I mean, it's hard to find honest people anymore. It's hard to find people that work hard and that are honest and will live life upright, if you would. It's hard to find that. And may I say tonight that if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves dead if we're not careful. But I want to give you tonight, if I may, a few thoughts about seven signs of what a dead Christian would be, if you would. Number one, may I say tonight, if you get to the point where you are no longer burdened for people, you are becoming a dead Christian. Listen, dear friend, I used to joke with people all the time. You know, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. But the ministry is that. It's all about people. And listen, dear friend, if we get to the point where we no longer care about people, dear friend, it is a good sign that we are a dying Christian. A Christian that's alive is going to care about people. We're going to want to try to reach people. We want to encourage people. We mentioned this morning in Sunday school that one of the jobs of a believer in the church is edifying one another, and how that we'll build up people and we'll encourage people and reach people and witness to people and invite people to church and help people. Hey, may I say tonight that when we get to the point when we're no longer burdened for them, dear friend, we are a good sign that we are a dead Christian. And if we fill up a church with dead Christians, you're going to have a dead church. Did you hear me tonight? If we all die up and if we all dry up and if we get to the point where we're no longer concerned about others tonight, listen, dear friend, it is a good sign that we are dying. All different. You know, I'm burdened sometimes when I hear when Brother Richardson would ask for prayer requests and there's people in the church that will mention people and say lost loved ones, and then my mind automatically thinks, man, there's someone who has a loved one that's lost and on their way to hell, but praise God, they're still burdened about them. They still want them to be saved. They want somebody to pray for them that lost loved one would trust Christ as their Savior. And what is that? That's a sign that we still care, dear friend. Don't you give up on a lost person tonight. I'm very privileged tonight. My family, as far as I know tonight, all of my family is saved. In church tonight now, and faithful to church now. And my family being faithful to church is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Can somebody say amen on that one? That was just the way it was. That's the way it is in our house and our family and growing up. And I realize there are things that come up sometimes that prevent us maybe from being at church, and I understand that tonight. But hey, I just believe tonight that we'll to be faithful and we'll to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and we'll to have a burden for people and to reach people. And there are some that I'm afraid tonight that we've lost our burden if we're not careful tonight for the world and how the world needs to be saved, and we get to the point where we're no longer burdened about that one that we work with that we know is lost, or maybe that next door neighbor that's lost tonight, or maybe that mother or father that's lost, or that son or that daughter that's lost. And I'm afraid as time goes by, if we're not careful, we'll lose that burden that we used to have for them. And when we lose our burden, it is a sign that we're dying as a believer. Oh, my friend, tonight the Bible tells us in Psalms 126 verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I find here that it talks about going and how that we ought to be a people that go after people and after lost people and after souls tonight, and we ought to have a burden for them and we ought to weep for them. And may I say tonight, most of our churches are filled with people that never shed a tear over a lost soul. It's sad tonight. When you really think about it, that if a person dies without Christ, then it doesn't matter how what we want to think tonight, a person dies without Christ, they die and go to hell, dear friend. It's as simple as that. Boy, we ought to be burdened for lost people, and we ought to shed tears for our lost loved ones and our lost relatives and those that we work with and those that we go to school with and those that live down the road from us and those that we shop with and trade business with and so forth. Hey, we ought to be concerned about lost people tonight and have a burden for them. But if we lose that burden, we start to dry up. And then we get to the point where we no longer care whether a person is saved or not. And we get to the point where we no longer shed any tears. And we get to the point where we no longer pray for that lost person. And we get to the point where we no longer care. And what is that? It is a good sign that we are drying up as a believer and we're dying. Oh, we may claim to be alive. We may even claim that we're alive and well. But on the inside, we're dying and we're shivering up and we're withering away. And dear friend, when all of us start that process, and if we all become that way, then you'll have a dead church, because the church is the membership tonight. Seven signs of a dead Christian. I said number one, when there's no burden for people any longer, it's a good sign that we're dying. May I say number two, when we get to the point where there's no longer a hunger for the Word of God, it's a sign that we're dying tonight. We need to have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. I'm so glad tonight to be a part of a church that takes a stand in the Word of God. I'm glad tonight that we are in a church tonight where it's okay to hold up the Word of God and say, this is our compass tonight. This is our rule book. This is our guide tonight. It's the Word of God. When today we live in a day and age today where preachers get in pulpit and they kind of almost apologize for the Word of God. We don't apologize for the Word of God tonight. We lift it up tonight and say, here's the book, dear friend. Here's what we follow. It's called the Word of God. We believe it. I mean, we trust it. We believe every single word in it. I told somebody the other day, I believe it so much, I believe on the front cover, even where it says Holy Bible, dear friend. Thank God for the Word of God. How many Bibles do we have in our homes? I thought today, I don't know how many Bibles we own, but we own a lot of them. But owning a Bible is not going to cut it tonight. Having a hunger for the Word of God tonight. And I'm afraid that Christians get to the point where we no longer hunger for the Word of God. In fact, we had to blow the dust off of it this morning before we came to church because we don't pick it up. We never read it. We don't trust it. We don't memorize it. We don't live it. We don't practice it, dear friend. And when we get to that point, what is it? It is a sign that we're dying. When you get to the point where you no longer enjoy the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that, come on, let's all be honest. There are times when we get up and we say, man, I'm tired. I don't know. You know, I really don't want to read the Bible, but I'm going to. And I understand we go through those stages because our flesh fights it. But listen, we need the Word of God tonight. We need to read it and read it. You know, it's wonderful to read it over and over and over. It's amazing. You can learn something every time you read it again. It's a living book tonight. It's God's holy word tonight. And we take a stand upon it and we say, oh, boy, we believe the King James Bible. But how often do we read it? How often do we hunger for it? And how often do we yearn for the Word of God? Oh, dear friend, the Word of God is precious tonight. And when we get to the point where we no longer care about the Word of God in our life, it is a good sign that you're dying, dear friend. And if we all start to die, then we're going to have a dead church. Our government doesn't like it. It's very obvious that we live in a society that doesn't have much regard for the Word of God. I mean, we can go sit on a bench at Walmart tonight and you'll find out real quick there's a lot of people that just don't practice, they don't believe God's Word tonight. It seems like our government is more anti-God and more anti-Bible than ever before. You know, sometimes you have to wonder, I mean, with our politicians, I mean, how, you know, I'd like to know where do you stand on, you know, what kind of belief do you have in God's Word? Boy, we need to hunger for the Word of God. And we live in a society tonight that may reject the Word of God, but we have to be the remnant tonight that holds up the Word of God and says, this is truth right here. Every single word from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, every single word is true, dear friend. It has the answers for life problems. You got financial problems? The Word of God's the answer, dear friend. You got marriage problems? God's Word's the answer, dear friend. You have physical problems? The Word of God is the answer. Do you have spiritual problems? The Word of God's the answer, dear friend. But we've got to hunger for it and thirst after it and realize the Word of God is a living Word tonight and we need God's Word tonight. It's amazing that today we live in a society today where pastors are encouraged to tell people to leave their Bibles at home. You know, tonight, I look at it this way. If something kind of turns you a little bit wrong when it comes to the Word of God, I call that conviction, dear friend. Conviction is a good thing. And we need to realize tonight that yes, the world may hate God's Word. The world may reject God's Word. Our government may even reject God's Word. But dear friend, we need to be sure tonight that we're going to stand firm and we're going to have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God and realize that it is God's Word. And praise God, we have a copy of it tonight. And let's read it. Let's love it. Let's memorize it. Let's study it. Let's practice it tonight. Because the other avenue tonight doesn't look too good. It's called death. Sign of a dead Christian tonight is one that no longer hungers for the Word of God. You know, it's amazing. There's a lot of power in that book you hold in your lap right there. So, well, life's rough. Well, I've worked different jobs. I've worked construction jobs. I've worked in factories. You know, I've always found it to be true. Take a Bible with you. You go to break, put a Bible out on the table. That'll clear out a whole lot of riffraff right there. You say what you want to tonight, but the world is scared of that book that you hold in your lap. You'll find out, dear friend, people have a hard time using God's name in vain when you lay the Bible out on the table. Let me tell you why. There's power in that book right there. We all say amen. We agree to that tonight, but let's start reading it. Let's practice it. Let's love it. Let's hunger for it. Why? Because it's what gives us life tonight, dear friend. You know, tonight we come to church on Sunday. Boy, we feel good, get pumped up, ready to go another week. But guess what? This will give you life every single day. We need it tonight. We need to read it. But I'm afraid tonight that Christians get to the point where we no longer hunger for the Word of God. And when you get to the point where you no longer hunger for the Word of God and we never read it, we never pick it up, we never study it, we never go to it, dear friend. Listen, dear friend, and if you get to the point where you start living your life away from the Word of God, you'll find yourself dying as a Christian. God said, you have a name that you live. And we find that God says, but I know your works. And you may claim that you're alive as a church. You church there at Sardis, your name, you claim it. And you claim that you're alive. But he says, but actually you're dead. See, tonight, the proof's in the pudding tonight. And you're it. Whether this church is alive, dear friend, is based on us tonight. That's why we tonight as a church, boy, we ought to rally behind the pastor, encourage him. You know, I've always found to be true in my ministry. When people encourage me, it makes me preach more. Now, you may, well, you're saying, well, I don't want to do that. He'll preach 10 times longer. But you'll find out, he'll find preaching easier. You'll find that he'll find that preaching is enjoyable when he gets some encouragement along the way. You know, sometimes it wouldn't hurt to say, man, preacher, I'd like to see you tonight after the service. Now, anytime a preacher hears that, they say, uh-oh. Let me tell you why. 99.9% of everybody that wants to see you after the service, there's a complaint coming. Are y'all with me tonight? Listen, dear friend, a person can only carry so much sometimes. And when you overload them with problems and complaints, and you don't like this, and I don't like that, and so forth, and usually it's over foolish things. Boy, if you tell your pastor one time, I'd like to see you after the service, and you're going to confuse him. He'll preach short that night because he can't think straight because he's thinking in his mind, I wonder what their problem's going to be tonight. And then you're going to cause him to have a heart attack when you say, I just want you to know that I appreciate you. And I love you. And I want you to know that your messages have helped me. It'll do more for him than you ever dreamed. Let me tell you why, because preachers don't get that very often. They usually get all the complaints, all the gripes, all the problems. But I'm getting sidetracked here. I'm trying to get into a message that I'm not preaching tonight. Let me get back here real quick. Number three, another sign of a dead Christian tonight, when there is no hunger for Christian fellowship. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe this, when the church doors open, we ought to come in, dear friend. And the Bible says here, whether you like it or not, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Are y'all with me tonight? Listen, I'll go a step further than that. We have no right not to show up tonight. And I'm also, you jot this down, Hebrews 10:25. You mark it down, you go back and read it, and the Bible says, and so much the more. Now, if I understand that correctly, I ought to be more in church today than I was last week. And as the closer as I get to the Lord's return, the more I need to be in church. I need preaching tonight. I need to be in church tonight. You know what else? We need fellowship tonight. Isn't it good to have Christian fellowship tonight? Oh, dear friend, I've often wondered, how in the world can Christians not want to be in church? You know, listen, there's something wrong when a Christian would rather be with a lost crowd than God's people. It's a good sign you're dead. Oh, you may claim to be this and you may claim to be that, dear friend. But God says, but I know your works. I know you inside and out, and I know whether you're alive or whether you're dead. You may claim to be alive, but God says, but actually you're dead. Christian fellowship, dear friend. And when we get to the point where we don't want to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friend, it's a good sign that we are in a death process. In fact, we may ought to call the coroner pretty quick, because you're about dead.
Boy, there's strength when it comes to fellowship with believers tonight. It's good to share prayer requests. It's good to be able to share burdens with one another. It's good just to joke a little bit together sometimes. It's good to cry together. It's good to laugh together. And we call ourselves, often we'll say it, our church family. It's good to have a church family. Tell you what, dear friend, there's going to come a day when you're going to need a church family. I promise you, dear friend, there's coming a day when some bad news is going to come your way and you're going to wish you had a church family. That's why I used to get so upset with people that felt like, oh, I can have church at home. I've got this and I can watch so-and-so on television. I'm not against maybe a ministry that tries to reach the masses through television, but when it's church time, God's people ought to be in church. Tell you what you do. When somebody dies in your family and you need to have a funeral, you call that person over in California to come preach that message. I'm sure he'll come. Right? Listen, dear friend, we need one another. We need fellowship together. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in fellowship. And as we find here, that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, listen, let me say this real quickly also. One of the best ways you can ever encourage your pastor is just simply showing up when the door's open. I don't know of one single thing more that would encourage any pastor of any church than the people of that church just being faithful to church. You know, years ago, I was... the church hadn't started yet, and I was at the front door of our church. We had glass doors just like what is here and so forth. And I always would be out kind of greeting people and finding out who's here and who's not. And I'd always look out the window and think about the one that wasn't there. And I thought, you know, I wonder where so-and-so is today. And they're like, you know, so-and-so's not here today. I wonder where so-and-so is. And sometimes it was, I thought to myself, here I am, more worried about the ones that are not here than the ones that are here. I can't do anything with the ones that won't show up. But a pastor carries the burden because they want the people to show up. Did you catch in the message this morning, Brother Richardson talked about coming in this room and praying for people this morning? And you could find that he was fighting a little bit, some of the emotions. And there were some tears coming down his cheek. And he was talking about he knows where everybody sits. Every pastor knows where everybody sits. Every pastor can tell within 3 seconds who's there and who's not. And he talked about how he would go... Do you remember he talked about going around the pews and praying for so-and-so and so forth? And I'm telling you tonight, if I know him correctly, there's probably some people that he prays. You know what some of the prayers he may have for some people? I just wish they'd show up. Faithfulness. You can't tell me tonight that you're a Christian that's thriving and growing and living and maturing like you ought to be and not show up for church. Would you agree with me, Brother Jay? We ought to be in God's house. You know, I enjoy fellowshipping together. And I realize there are times we get sick. Sometimes we have surgery. We can't be here. I understand those kind of things. But I'm talking about when we're well able and the church doors open, God's people ought to come in. Why would we not be here? Oh, because my favorite NBA team's playing tonight. Am I right? Here's one. Sunday's my only day off. Used to hear that all the time. You know, where do we find that in God's Word? Well, Sunday's my day off, and that's the day that I don't have to go to church. Well, that Sunday's the only day that I can get groceries. You know, and we give up some of, to be honest, we just flat out lie. We call them excuses. I call them Baptist lies of why we can't be there. Oh, dear friend, tonight, let's be honest. If we could, and I've often said this, I mean, the FBI couldn't find most members on the church row tonight. I don't even know who all the people are on the church row. Every now and then there's somebody that shows up, I'll be honest with you. And I ask my wife, is that a visitor or is that a member? Because I'd hate to go to them and say, man, I'm glad to see you and I'm glad you're visiting with us. And they say, well, I've been a church member here for 25 years. You just don't know in Baptist churches. Am I right tonight? Oh, dear friend, when the doors open, let's show up. When the church doors squeak, God's people ought to show up. Because when we neglect the house of God, it is a sign that we're dying. You can claim all you want to, dear friend. And you can say how you're alive and thriving and you're doing well, and God can look at you and say, but you know what? I know your works. And you claim to be alive, but God says that we're dead. And listen, when you fill a church full of dead people, you're going to have a dead church. And may I say tonight that when we get to the point where there's no hunger for Christian fellowship, it's a good sign that we're dead. It's impossible to be a good Christian and not want to be with God's people. You'll never convince me otherwise. You say, well, that's just your idea. That's just your thoughts tonight. And that is my thoughts tonight, but you're not going to change it tonight. You cannot convince me that you can be a good Christian and not show up with Christian fellowship. That's one thing I've loved about Brother Richardson. I like spending time with him. I like to ask him questions. You know what? He's a fun guy to be with. I mean, still, and I don't know what Brother Richardson's age is tonight. I know that he's got a daughter that's old enough to be married, and she has her own children tonight, so I know he's a little older than me and so forth, but he still enjoys life. He still enjoys the ministry. Even maybe disappointments, no doubt, through life, no doubt disappointments when it comes to the Lord's work and working with people. People disappoint you, but he's still going strong tonight. I enjoy being around people like that. You know what? That encourages me. You know, coming to church helps me tonight. It helps me to go out and tackle another week. I don't know what the Lord has in store this week. I don't know what's going to happen this next week. But I'm glad to know that I've had a good time today in the house of God. We've got a great pastor tonight. Great message this morning at Christian Fellowship. And it's good to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ and spend time together. And you know what? I'm ready for another week. Because I believe it helps give life. I promise you this, it's not going to hurt you to go to church. There was a survey once, one of the safest places you could ever be is the name of the survey. Did you know that church was one of the highest ones on the list? Did you know the most dangerous place that you'll ever go to is your home? More accidents happen at home than anywhere else in a person's life. What does that have to do with the message? I have no idea. I don't know how I came up with that. All right, let's go to the next point tonight. Number four tonight. When there's no liberty of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're dying. So what do you mean by that? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, the Bible says. You see, tonight, I need the working of the Holy Spirit to work in my life every single day. I need the Spirit of God to work in my life. And we need the Holy Spirit's moving in our church. Often, Brother Richardson would talk about the Spirit and so forth in the church and the Holy Spirit's moving and this and that. And makes comments like that. What is that? That's an indicator there's some life there. Well, we need the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God, and we need His power tonight. And we can, I'm afraid, so often in life, even in churches, you know, we can get so formal in a church that we move God plumb out of a service. You know, I've often, Patty and I have often commented and so forth about Brother Richardson. I mean, he may want one song and he may want three songs. I mean, if he wants to change it up a little bit, he changes it up a little bit. I'm glad that we're not so structured and so formal that God can't even speak in a church. I mean, there are some churches, I mean, you go inside, the bulletin has the order of service in it, and bless God, you don't vary from that order of service. Because if you vary from the order of service, we may get out a little bit late. And people are more worried about getting out of church than they are getting in church. People sit in service and look at their clocks over and over and over and over. Because we're more worried about getting out than we are getting in. What is it? It's just a sign that we're dying. Let me ask you tonight, does the Holy Spirit of God have liberty in your life? Let me ask you tonight, does the Holy Spirit of God speak to you? Does He still move inside of you tonight? Is your heart still tender enough where the Lord can speak and move in our life and talk to us and speak to us? And dear friend, tonight we need to realize and understand when we get to the point where the Holy Spirit of God never moves, He never speaks, there's nothing going on, it just seems like we're stale in life. What is it? It's an indicator we're dying. We can claim all we want to be alive, but the Lord knows our works. We can put on our church sign, I think out on our church sign on the highway, it says missionary. We can put that out there all we want to, but if we don't support missionaries, what we put on the sign really didn't matter, did it? And we can say what we want to tonight about ourselves, but the Lord knows on the inside what's going on. And He knows whether we're alive or whether we're dead tonight. And I'm being honest with you tonight, the problem in America tonight is our churches are dying. Let me tell you why they're dying. Because the people are dying. We're dying spiritually. We're filling churches and we're not doing a good job at that. Whether, you know, we realize it or not, there's still room for some more, is there not? Why isn't every seat full tonight? Well, we can say why this and why that and why, you know, the reason is this and the reason is that and so forth. But when it really comes down to it, the reason that our churches in America are not packed out is because we are dying spiritually. I've been to some churches and I thought to myself, there is no way I'd want to be a member of that church. I've been to churches before and left and depressed when I leave. You know what? I've been to some church services and I thought about giving up when I left. Just deadness. You know, I believe tonight a church ought to be alive. But a lot of churches are nothing more than a funeral home. You know, there's just something weird about funeral homes, is it not? Amen. My brother-in-law is a mortician. And he works at a funeral home every day of his life. But to me, and I've preached a lot of funerals and been into a lot of funeral homes, but you go in, it just seems kind of cold and clammy, and I don't know if it's just because of the smell of flowers, it gives me this impression and so forth, and there's just, just a little bit of more of an eerie kind of feeling on the inside. Of course, funeral homes remind you of death and so forth, but listen, that's not what a church ought to be. A church ought to be a place when you walk in, somebody gives you a handshake at the front door. It ought to be a place where somebody comes up to you with a smile and not a frown. It ought to be a place where somebody comes up and pats you on the back and encourages instead of discouraging you. It ought to be a place of life and fun. It ought to be a place of laughter. It ought to be a place where people enjoy. It ought to be a place of refuge. It ought to be a place of safety. It ought to be a place that we enjoy being. So let's not go to church looking at the clock, hoping He'll hurry up so we can get out. Let's go to church to get in. And I've got to hurry because it is getting late. Fifth, may I say tonight, how do you know you're dying as a Christian? When the joy of the Lord is gone. When there's no more joy inside. When there's no more excitement. There's no more life. And some Christians, I'm afraid that in our churches that we've allowed deadness to overtake our churches. I can remember when I was young, I was saved and baptized in actually a Southern Baptist church when I was young, and a pretty formal church at that. Not real formal, but nobody, you know, really ever got excited about anything. But there was this one particular older lady. She was white-headed in our church. Her name was Miss Callison. She's in heaven tonight. And we sat in our place, and her seat was actually right in front of our seat. Now, Miss Callison, if they ever sang Victory in Jesus, she shouted. And I can remember the first time she shouted, I like to shout it out of fear. I like to jump out of my skin. Now, others in the church didn't like Miss Callison doing that because it was a little bit informal. And it was just something that you just wasn't supposed to do in church. But even as a young child, I thought, I'd rather have that than over deadness any day. Amen. Say what you want. And by the way, Miss Callison didn't care what you thought anyway. You say, well, women ought not shout in church. You can say what you want to, but she's going to shout when you sing Victory in Jesus. I'm just telling you, you just mark it down. You get ready, she's going to shout. You know what it proved to me? There's something alive inside of her. There's some joy down inside. And boy, it comes out when she gets happy. You know, it wouldn't hurt Baptists to get happy a little bit. It wouldn't hurt for us to smile. It wouldn't hurt for us to encourage and edify and build people up and give a handshake and pat on the back and encourage one another and lift one another up and happy and amens and hallelujahs. I mean, hey, that's all good, dear friend. Why? It's a sign of life. You know what the sign of death is? When it's completely quiet. Let me just move on here. My time is running out. Number six, may I say, when you no longer have a prayer life, it's a sign that you're dying. When you get to the point where you no longer have a prayer life, dear friend, you just mark it down. You better get to the emergency room real quick. You're dying, dear friend. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God says you have a name. You have a name that thou livest. He tells the church there, you claim that you're a church that's alive. You ask the membership of the church there at Sardis, oh, we're a church that's alive. And God says, yeah, but I know your works. I know you. You may claim to be alive, but actually you're dead. And seven tonight, and I'll be done. When you get to the point where you're no longer willing to serve and help out, it's a good sign that you're dying. When you're no longer willing to give a helping hand, when you're getting to the point where you're no longer willing to do your part, it's a good sign that we're dying. And by the way, that's what we are tonight. We are servants of Jesus Christ. You know what servants do? They serve. You know, I found out, you know what service basically is? It's just old-fashioned work. You know, when it comes to the Lord's work, there's a lot of things that we can do tonight. If we're just willing. You say, well, you know, I just really don't know what I can do. Okay, go to Brother Richardson and say, you know, I'd like to do something. Is there anything that I can do? I promise you, he'll find you something to do. In fact, you may wish you didn't ask him that question. I think he mentioned this morning, you know what, changing light bulbs. Did he not say that this morning? Say, well, you know what, that's foolish. Okay, then you show up tomorrow and let him put you to work on changing light bulbs and you'll find out. You'll probably count how many light bulbs are around here and you're going to find out there's a whole lot of them and it's a whole lot of work keeping things going forward around here. And I'm sure, I don't know Brother Richardson that well, I guess, but I can pretty well imagine tonight. You know, when you get in the ministry, and some of you that maybe teach school and so forth, you'll find out. I mean, you got to be a carpenter, you got to be an electrician, you got to be the plumber. You know, and I'm not trying to be kind of ugly here, but you know, if the commode stops up, somebody's got to unstop it. Somebody's got to mop up the floor when the water overflows. When there's a water leak, somebody's got to clean that up. When people won't pick up their trash, somebody else has got to pick that up. Hey, dear friend, you're going to find out there's a whole lot of things that can be done. But when you get to the point where you're not willing to do anything, it's a good sign tonight that we're dead. And when we all get to that point where we die spiritually, and if we all come to that conclusion tonight, and we all show up and we sit in our place tonight, and we have what we call church, and we can claim to be alive tonight, but the Lord will say, no, no. I know you. You may claim to be alive, but you're actually dead. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I'll stop here. And oh, dear friend, we can claim a lot of things tonight. We can be a restaurant owner and claim that we're the best food in town. But you can claim all you want to. But if somebody eats there and that food's not very good, they're going to look at your sign and say, your sign is a joke, it's a lie. Because your food doesn't back up what you claim on the sign. May I ask you tonight, Do you look at yourself as a process of living, or are you in the process of dying? Well, no matter what you think tonight, ask yourself this: what does the Lord see in me? Boy, that changes things. Does the Lord see life in me, or does He see death in me? Because the Lord looked at a church there in Sardis that claimed that they were alive, but the Lord says, no, you know, I know your works. You may claim to be alive, but you're actually dead. And listen tonight, whether this church lives or dies depends upon us. If this church lives, it's because there's life in us. If this church dies, it's because there's death in us. And death is not what is needed tonight. We need a church that's alive. And maybe tonight there's some areas of our life where we can improve. I believe that there's probably areas that we could all improve in. And maybe tonight we need to make some improvements, because we're in the process of dying and we need to stop that right now. If you were sick tonight physically, you're going to go to the doctor tomorrow. Why? You want the doctor to help you to stop the process of the sickness, the disease. And maybe tonight we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Spiritually, I'm hurting in this area. Lord, over here in this area of my life, I'm dying spiritually over here. God, I need your help. Because I don't want to die spiritually. I want to live. And I want to help my church. And I want our church to live. And I want it to go forward. And I want us to do more. And I want to be an encouragement. And I want to help others. And I want to support the pastor. And I want to see people reached and souls saved. And I want to see missionaries around the world. I want to see the world come to Christ. If any of that's going to happen, it's going to be because of life and not death. So where are you tonight? Are we willing to move? Maybe tonight we ought to make a move. Maybe we ought to come to the altar. Maybe we ought to get down in the seat where we're at and pray. Maybe we ought to go home this week and make some changes in life. Only you know tonight what is needed in your life. Only you and the Lord know. But let's do what's right between us and the Lord. Let's all stand at our feet tonight. Brother Bradley's going to lead us in a song tonight.